Thank the Lord for heaven. Praise the Lord. We're going to that city, and we're so grateful for the promise in the scriptures of heaven. And as I mentioned, that's why we want to be a church that continually lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ and points folks to Him, because this is not all there is. And we're thankful for heaven. Well, I want to preach this morning. But before I do, I again want to say thank you so much for your support, your love, and may you know our family's appreciation for all that you have done, and we thank God for your kindness and support in the passing of my mom. And so she went home to be with God, with the Lord, just last Monday morning, very, very early. And so we're thankful that we have the promise of heaven, and the goodness of the Lord has been evident in our family. And so we thank you so much for playing part in that. Well, I want to preach to you for just a little while, not about that, and I certainly don't want to preach, but I do want to preach something about storms that come into our lives, not necessarily the death of a loved one, although that would qualify, but I want you to know my heart. I do want our church to be a place where you can feel like you can bring anybody in the world to this church. I mean that in a couple different ways. One, that you'd never be embarrassed, because we want to always lift up Christ. But number two, that you would do all you can to bring anybody and everybody to our church, because no one should feel unwelcome. If they're dressed in their Sunday best, or if they wouldn't know what their Sunday best was, we want them to come to church. As the Lord works on their hearts, they can change some of those things. But I always cringe when I hear people try to play the part of the Holy Spirit, trying to tell people how they should come to church or how they do this. Listen, folks, we want people to come. Come here and hear the message of the Bible, and then let the Lord work on their heart. And I pray to God, but let us this be a church that everybody feels welcome, and we want everybody to feel the opportunity is theirs to bring your friends, bring your co-workers, bring whoever, not only in the message that's preached, because it's going to be applicable to everybody, the Word of God will do a work in the people's hearts, but also that they might not feel ill-prepared, ill-dressed, ill-whatever in order to come, because we want you to know this is the place for people to be. As I already told you, Amy and I are praying that it would be known in our area that Buffalo Ridge is the Sunday place to be. And we want people to feel like they have a home here. So thank you so much for our part. And sometimes people walk out these doors and say, okay, what are we supposed to do till the next service? Well, our marching orders are clear. We're supposed to be a billboard for Jesus Christ everywhere we go. Wherever you work, whoever you see, whoever you associate with, whoever you rub shoulders with, may we be busy this week about getting folks the gospel ultimately and being a good representative for Christ. So let's get into the message, Mark chapter 4. Mark, the gospel of Mark chapter 4, while you're finding your place there, I did hear the story. We certainly want to usually start off with something funny, and I don't want to change that. I heard this fella was at the mall, and he'd seen down one of these little alleyways of the mall. It was kind of one of those outdoor malls, but had alleyways down between each one of the stores. And he'd seen that there's about six guys down this alleyway, and they're kind of roughing up his mother-in-law. And he walked on past because he looked and then walked on. And then somebody that knew him, knew his mother-in-law, had also seen the same thing. He said, hey, aren't you going to go down there and help? And didn't you see what's happening? He said, yes. He said, aren't you going to go down there and help? He said, no. I'd say six of them's enough. So, if your mother-in-law in here, I'm sorry. You're the one that chose to let your child be married to somebody, so. That's why we're keeping my two daughters at home. We don't want them to get married. Why would I want them to marry? We brought them in the house. Well, why would we want them to leave? We want them to stay with us. And so some idiot boys are going to come one of these days, but they are going to have to fight hard. I can tell you that for sure. So Mark chapter 4, the Bible says this familiar passage, verse number 35, about the storm being stilled when Christ is in the boat. So we're looking at Mark chapter 4, almost the end of the verse, or end of the chapter rather. We will read to the end, verse 35 of Mark. And that same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest not that thou perish? I think that's the strangest question in the scriptures that they would ask the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, the sustainer, the Messiah, the God incarnate. Do you even care? Brother Dan has sung that song, Yes, He Cares. I know He cares. Carest thou not that we perish? That's not the message, but I always think that's a strange question. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I've preached on this passage before, not the message I'll give you today, but I've preached on this passage before, probably one of our favorite passages in the scriptures. I think I'm not alone in this room of people who say, wow, that's one of the favorite stories when Jesus, so at peace and so calm in the back of the boat asleep while everybody else is running frantic and worried about all that's going on, and he is there at rest. And we see these disciples, they are letting the storm get to them. They are letting the storm bother them. They're letting the storm wreck their world and ruin their outlook. They are letting the storm get to them. So I want to preach to you for a little while about this subject. Is the storm getting to you? Father, bless us now is our prayer. You've been very good to this church. You've been very good to our family. You've been very good to our church family, dear Lord. You've been blessing us, and we want to stop and say thank you for that. Now, dear Lord, we're praying that you would continue to comfort my personal family, dad and all that. But I pray that you'd be with Preacher Lashley, Lord, as his brother has gone to see you as well, his faithful preacher brother, dear Lord, bless him. And I pray that you would bless this service, though. And I pray that you bless, continue to bless the service, but bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. We all know what storms look like. They're nothing new to us. Now, this is specifically a literal storm that the winds are blowing, the waves are crashing in. It's a storm. But figuratively, there are storms coming in your life as well. There are things that are happening in your life that you don't want. There are things that are coming and over your boat, and the waves are crashing over, and you're thinking, I may go down in this storm as well. There are winds that are beating against your life right now, and you're thinking, sometimes all of us do, as one person put it, you're either in a battle, you just came out of one, or you're getting ready to go in, and there's storms that blow and they battle against us. Now, when literal storms come, as my wife always says about, I usually, if it's storming at night, I do what normal people do. I go to sleep. It doesn't really bother me. Amy says, well, just look for John by the bed, the mattress. If a tornado comes through, we lived in Iowa, sometimes some straight winds would come through, and there's one big storm that did. And she said, well, if it ever happened to us, our house, just look for John close to the mattress, because he went to sleep, I'm sure. It doesn't bother me, that part. My wife always asks if one of the kids, it's just into a mom, and many mothers in this room, Amy always asks, are you okay? If there's something that looks like your face looks a little sad, or something's happening, or you're walking funny, or you're limping, or you're holding an arm, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? I may put on my tombstone, have them put on there, no, I wasn't okay, Amy. So, but we all have storms that come. And we understand that storms are a part of our life. If we didn't know, if they weren't there, we'd think something was wrong, because they come and they go. And the storm in this scripture was real, but I believe we can apply it to life storms this morning. I want to give you a couple of thoughts and then give you a couple of points. Just a couple of statements. One is, we do well if storms pass quickly. If something happens to you and it's gone within 5 minutes, well, it was hard, we had to buckle down and do something about it while it was here, then we let that one happen pretty easily. There's a glass of water that the ushers put up here for me, and if I would hold that out for 30 seconds or 45 seconds, it would be quite easy. But if you cared to, which you don't, I'm sure, nor do I, but if you cared to stay here for the next 3 hours and I tried to hold it out there, soon my arm's going to get tired. And I see that's the way that happens in our life as well. There's sickness in your family. If it's a sickness that comes and it goes as quick as it came, then you say, boy, that was tough. You all know that I was sick last fall with the most famous sickness in the world right now still. You take that for a few days or maybe a couple weeks, as it weren't turned out to be, and it was quarantined for a while. But you take that, and thank God it wasn't as serious for me as it was for other people, because it's a very serious thing, I understand. But you can, if you know you're going to get done with something in a week or two, then you can just buckle down and take it. But there are folks in this room, and some of them aren't in this room, they're watching live stream, they've been sick for years, not with that, but they've been sick with something that's wrong. And I'm looking at some good men right now, they're taking care of their wives, and they are taking care of something, somebody that they love desperately, and that loved one will never get finished with this. That, my friend, is a storm that's hard to take. That one that comes on and comes off of you in about a week or two, that's pretty easy. But those of us who have diseases or things that are going to stick with you, those get harder and harder. But we do well if storms pass quickly. But I think this, not only do we do better if they pass quickly, but we also realize that sometimes physical trials are easier than mental or emotional or spiritual trials. If you come to me and you say, well, my roof's leaking. If it was rained as much as it's been in the last little bit, that's a bad problem. Maybe like one fellow said, well, haven't you ever fixed your roof? And the guy said, no. Why not? He said, well, every time it leaks, it's raining. I can't get up there. And when it's not raining, it doesn't leak. So if your roof's leaking, the brakes went out, the washer quit working, and the dryer won't either, and there's three other things that are wrong in your house. You look at those physical things and say, oh my goodness, I got to get these done. But those are easier to identify, and there's no embarrassment when you tell somebody, my roof's leaking, this came in, a tree blew down in my house, this. There's no embarrassment. But somehow, if somebody's battling depression or somebody's battling something that's bothering them internally or emotionally or mentally, there's some shame in that. There's not, but there people allow it to be. My friend, I'm just telling you, sometimes those physical trials are easier to bear than those emotional ones and those mental ones. And I challenge us as a church, challenge you as a family, if you've got somebody that's battling with something that's not outward, that's not the washer breaking, the cars break down, because here's what happens. If somebody says, hey, my car's broke down, and you know what the answer is, or what the next statement is, do you need me to give you a ride? You need to borrow? We got an extra car. We got this. We can rent you one. That's sometimes easy to fix. But when somebody says, I'm battling depression, I'm battling this, boy, we're out of our league, then we don't know how to do it. Sometimes those physical trials are easier than the emotional ones. But I want to draw a couple observations out of this text and trust that the Lord will take it to our hearts as we look at it. Number one, here's my outline. Number one, just because Jesus is there doesn't mean there won't be a storm. Look at verse 37, if you would, if you still have your Bible open. Verse number 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Boy, if there's ever a place to be, if there's ever a place I thought I'd be safe, if there's ever a spot on this planet that I thought we'd be in good shape, it'd be in the boat with Jesus. Now, if you didn't know this story is in the scripture and I didn't know it was in the Bible, I'd think that it'd never rain on a boat with Jesus in it. I would think there would never dare any winds come against the side of a boat if the Messiah was in it. I know the story because I read it just when you did. But if I hadn't read that, I'd think, boy, the safest place to be on this earth would be in a boat with Jesus, because you talk about some people who are superstitious and they'll take a rabbit's foot or garlic or whatever else. And I don't know about all that stuff, but people, whatever they want to do. But I'd say this, I know the best place to be is with Jesus. I thought, boy, we're in the best boat there. As the Bible says, there are other little ships around there. I don't want one of those ships. I want one with the Messiah in it. I want one with Jesus Christ in it. And I'd have thought for sure, if you'd have said, are there going to be any storms come your way? No. Did you look at our passenger manifest? Not only do we have Peter, we got some of these other fellows on here. They sometimes have good days, some days bad days. But you get down there finally and you say, oh, who's this I am is on the boat? But I'm telling you this morning, just because Jesus is on there doesn't mean there won't be storms. I'm thinking of good missionaries, one of them specifically that's been faithful and seen God work and has continued preaching the word of God, but sickness has invaded his body and he's having difficulties right now. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter if you're living for the Lord, and I hope you are. It doesn't matter if you're right smack dab in the center of God's will. That doesn't mean that problems will not come your way. I get asked more than any other question in my ministry, I think, is... Pastor, why do bad things happen to good people? And I'm going to give you the same answer I gave them, or gave everybody. I don't always know that, but I do. I'll add it here to you this morning. You remember what happened to Jesus? Do you remember he lived a life as far as the world's concerned, a pauper's life? He was born to folks, he didn't have a lot of money, born in a stable. He grew and he developed and he matured and he spent his life, 33 homesick years he lived on this earth. And then he was beat, mocked, and eventually crucified on the cross. The Son of God, the one who was perfect, the one who did nothing wrong. And after you think about this for a little while, remember what happened to Jesus and then tell me how good or bad things shouldn't happen to good people. Now, that's not a good answer when we're going through a trial. I understand that. But I'm just saying sometimes we get all concerned about why is something bad happening to good people. I'm saying that the Savior promised us not that we would have a smooth sailing all the way. He told us before this thing started. He said that in the world you shall have tribulation. I'm just telling you this morning, number one, just because Jesus is in there doesn't keep verse 37 from happening. There's storms come. There's even if Jesus is in the boat. But I want you to look back at verse number 36 as I make my second observation and second point. Other ships face the same storm. Verse number 36 is this, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And the last phrase says this, and there were also with him other little ships, little boats that were there. So that boat that Christ was on was not the only boat that was facing this storm. And so I tell you, number one, just because Jesus is in your boat, and I'm praying that he is, if you're saved, he is, just because he's there doesn't mean you won't have storms. And so my friend, quit asking the question, why is this happening? Quit asking the question, if Jesus is so good, why is this happening? And some people even get to a place where they doubt their salvation because problems are coming in their lives. My friend, you ought to be sure of your salvation. The Bible is very clear about that, but don't think that just because troubles come, somehow Jesus has left you, because the fact that Jesus is in the boat doesn't prevent storms. But number two, the scripture says here that other ships face the same storm. The scenario here is all the ships are on the water. There were also little ships. All of them must have been being tossed because verse number 37 clearly indicates that the waves were coming in this one so it was now full of water. And the waves are beating. The wind is blowing. The troubles are coming. The crews are worried. But which ship would you rather be on? I can tell you which one I'd rather be on. I just told you that just because Jesus is on there doesn't mean there won't be any storms that come. But if I'm going to be on one that's tossed and turned like a little rag doll, if I'm going to be on one of those ships, I want to be with the one that created this wind, the one that created the water. I want to be on the one that could say, as he finally did, "Peace, be still." And we're facing cancer, my friends, and we're facing surgeries and car repairs and deaths and roof leaks, as I mentioned before, and disappointments. We are all facing these things. Some of us are having emotional struggles, and some of us have spiritual battles. All of us do that. Some of us have depression issues, and some of us have problems with anger, and some of us have different difficulties. Listen, folks, just because somebody dresses up and looks like they're ready for church doesn't mean all the problems erased when you got ready Sunday morning. We're facing the same problems that everybody else out there is. We're facing the same difficulties. The problems come to your life just like they come to some unsaved person's life. But my friend, I'm telling you this morning that the other ships face the storm, but the difference is Jesus is in your boat. Number one, just because he's there doesn't mean there won't be storms. Number two, the other ships face the same. The storms, but this boat, your boat, if you're a believer in Christ, your ship may be rocking and reeling, but the one that wants to stop at any time he wants to is on the boat with you. I would give you as a point of application that if Jesus hasn't stopped your storm yet, you'll be okay. Meaning that the waves may still be crashing, the wind may still be blowing, the problems may still just seem like they're almost drowning you, but if Jesus is in your boat, if you're saved, I'm trying to say, if you know the Lord is your Savior, then I would say that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, that you will be, my friend, okay with the storm. Somebody told me just a little bit ago, said, "Well, your mom got healed." And boy, she did. And the storm that my family faced, how we had Jesus with us all the way, and eventually Jesus, apologize for that, we think it's one of our systems is competing with another one. But we understand that Now, if you're a dog, that wouldn't bother you. But since none of us are, that bothers me pretty bad. People on live stream probably say, oh, it's not doing it out here. I don't know what they're acting so funny for. But the storm that my family had gone through and is going through was all right because Jesus was on the boat with us, through us. My mom is a dear, sweet saint of God, loves God, and tried to raise us correctly. But the same boat that we were in had Jesus. Other folks were facing those same dilemma, same situation, same circumstances, same sickness, same heart gut-wrenching news, and didn't have the Lord. My friend, I'm trying to tell us other ships are facing the same storm. As one dear brother told me this morning, that storm ended because my mom is ultimately healed. But I'm saying this morning, number one, just because you have Jesus in your boat doesn't mean you won't have storms. Don't walk out of here and say, well, I'm saved, so ain't nothing going to touch me. You're going to have to explain a lot to Job in the Old Testament. We only thought it was bad before. That was worse than the others. I'll give you this last point of application. Number three. And I know this isn't necessarily working through the passage, but these are just observations from this passage. Number three, they still got where they were going. If you're taking notes, you'll write chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1, because verse number 35 of our text said, let us pass over to the other side. And then the storm came. But look at chapter 5, verse 1, and see what it says. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Jesus says, verse number 35, when the even was come, let us pass over unto the other side. And he said, let us pass over unto the other side. And then chapter 5, verse 1, and it says in conclusion of that part of the story, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. Yes, the little boat was a little worse for wear. Yes, they had to do some sopping out when they got over there and got it kind of in the port, got it docked or whatever they did and strapped it in. They had to get some old rags and some old things to soak up that water and sop it out of there. Yes, they probably had some seasick sailors, and yes, they had some people that their hair was all messed up and their muscles were tired from trying to row and trying to do whatever. But they still made it to the other side. I'm not the only one on a frequency that's hearing that, right? I thought after I said that a few times, well, maybe the rest of people, live stream people, nothing are thinking you're strange. We're all thinking you're strange. Like that one lady called her husband on his cell phone. And she said, honey, I'm watching this on the news. There's some idiot going the wrong way on the interstate. You be careful. I know you're driving over in that way. Some idiot, they've got live coverage from the choppers, and some idiot's going the wrong way on the interstate. And he answers back, says, honey, there ain't one idiot going the wrong way. There's 100 of them going the wrong way. So I want to make sure I'm not the only idiot hearing this. We see that in verse 1 of chapter 5, Jesus got the believers, got the disciples to the other side. And my friend, we're going to get... Hey guys, why don't we just shut it off up there? I think I can get loud enough. Can you pick enough up? And so we see... Maybe it's not me. And so I'm telling you this morning that the disciples, as they make their way onto the ship, everything is good as they find themselves getting on the boat with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, let us go to the other side, not knowing what's going to happen. The disciples happily get on the ship, and the disciples find themselves down and on that ship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all the storms of life literally break loose on those disciples, and those disciples row, and they panic, and they worry, and they get themselves to a place where they do not think that they'll get to the other side. But after Christ says, peace be still, unto the other side, they do go. And my friend, I'm telling us this morning, when we're right in the middle of the storm, it feels like it will take us. It feels like it will pull us under. And it feels like we won't recover from it. It feels like certainly we will not get to the other side. But here, in this particular story, as the disciples start on one side, they end up on the other side. And I just want to leave you with this thought this morning. Not only does Jesus in your boat not mean you won't have storms, I'm reminding you, number two, that all the other little ships, they get the storms just like you do. But number three, Jesus did get this boat to the other side. And as that brother told me this morning, it doesn't matter whether we go through some sickness. It doesn't matter whether we go with some pain. It doesn't matter whether we go through heartache and trouble. If you're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and you know Jesus as your Savior, you will get to the other side, and the Lord will ultimately heal you just like He's healed many of your loved ones by taking them on. I want to leave you this last story. David Jeremiah, a radio preacher, told this story. He told a story of a ship that was sailing in the storm. And as this ship was sailing in the storm, the waters got mighty rough. And the captain had given everybody instructions to get life preservers and given everybody instructions of what they ought to do. There was one dear lady that had asked the captain if she could gather the children into a room and tell stories about the Bible. And he said that would be fine. She had a very calming effect on all of the children, and she got them to sit down on the floor, even though the ship was rocking and going back and forth. She told them Bible stories and told them funny stories about life, and then told them other comforting things until the water had they had gotten through the worst of it, and now they realized that they were going to be safe. And then the children went back to their parents as they could see them there. The captain came to this dear lady, and he said to her, ma'am, I have to ask you, when I told everybody of our peril, everybody else started worrying more than I was and started frantically pacing and worrying and wondering what they should do. And it seemed like you were calm as you gave the stories to all of the children that had gathered in that room. She said, thank you. He said, no, I want to ask more than that. I'm not just complimenting you, although I am. I'm inquisitive. How did you keep calm like that? Let me tell you what this dear lady said. She said, the ship was on its way to New York City. She said, I've got one daughter in New York City. And she said, I've got one daughter in heaven. And she said, I'd assumed that I would be going to see one of them very soon. And I already concluded in my heart that whichever God wanted me to see, it would be all right with me. So I told you at the beginning I wanted to preach about, is the storm getting to you? My friend, if the Lord is in your boat, you need not worry about what the storm can do. Oh, I'm not saying the waves won't crash against it. You've already been living too much to know that, to believe that. I'm not saying that you won't have winds, but I am saying that with Him in your boat, He will get you to the other side. Chapter 5, verse 1. And they came unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Would you pray with me together that the Lord would help His people navigate through their storms, and that He will continue to be content, He will continue to be faithful as they travel this path. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray for your people that are going through problems. Lord, some of the good folks in front of me, they are having health issues that, unless doctors are wrong, those health issues will never be resolved. Lord, there are people in this room that have diseases going on in their bodies, some that that will plague them from now until you take them to heaven. Lord, I pray you'd comfort them today. Lord, I pray that the storms of life will not erase the fact or not cloud our judgment and will not make us think that you're not with us. Dear Lord, please help the storms not get to us. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, would you stand together with us? If you're here today and there's a need in your life, Miss Carmen and Miss Anderson are going to play. As they play, if God's speaking your heart, would you come?
Safe to shut anywhere off the time.
How are you all doing? You look so nice today. I wish I could wear bow ties, but they look good. As they continue to play, if God has moved upon your heart, I invite you to come this morning. Perhaps you're here and you're not saved. My friend, you're facing difficulties just like everybody else in this world's facing difficulties. And the people that you see before you are not able to navigate the storm because they're so good people. They're not able to navigate the storm because they're so smart. They're able to navigate the storm because Jesus is in the boat with them. I'm looking at good folks that, just like me, they buried the dearest things in life to them. But they're able to pick up and go on because Jesus has helped them. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, not sure you're on your way to heaven, would you feel free to step out of your aisle seat and come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be sure that heaven's your home? If you're a lady would deal with you. Maybe you are saved, but you need to be somebody to pray with you, then we'd be glad and honored to do that. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized. You'd like to come present yourself and say, I'd like to follow Christ in baptism. You'd like to make that decision public, and we'll do that very soon. Maybe you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. This altar is open for you this morning. Whatever your need is, I invite you to come. As they continue to play, just for a moment, I invite you to come. You need to come pray about something. Don't stand there and worry and wonder and get upset. Say, why is that sound system doing that? Well, you understand when the Lord works, the devil always fights. This is the biggest day of our week. Most important thing, we get to open the scriptures up, preach the Bible, sing the songs of Zion. We shouldn't be surprised. I already told you, as the Savior said, in this world we'll have problems. Don't be surprised. What a joy to get to see the Lord work. Thank you. Thank you so much. You may look this way, but I'm going to ask you to be seated just for a moment. If you have another couple moments, I want to share a special thing in our church's church life, church family. And it's always a joy when young families want to dedicate themselves and their children to the Lord. Always like to tell young families, but to tell the whole church family what dedication, baby dedication is and what it is not. It's not salvation. It's not a step that direction. But it is a family saying that God's given us a family and we want to give them back to Him. Problem is you still got to raise them. You don't get out of that. But dedicating back to the Lord what He's given to us. And this special family, the Cannons, have been a great blessing. Amy and I. And we thank the Lord for them. And we're not only going to dedicate Avery, she's just 4 months, but they have a desire to dedicate Knox and Drake as well, the whole family, to the Lord. And this is a blessing to a pastor, it's a blessing to a church to see people that want to dedicate not to the church here, but way past this to the Lord. Because the Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord, and all we're doing is just recognizing that and telling the Lord, Lord, you've given them to us, now we want to raise them for you. I like to, if you teach Sunday school, or you serve in the nursery, or you teach in junior church, or you help in the children's ministry somehow, and then that joined by all of our deacons and their wives, if you would stand please just for a moment. The deacons and their wives, and then our Sunday school teachers, children's church workers, nursery workers, or somebody that deals in the children's departments. I want you to quote with me that verse, Proverbs 22:6 is the one, train up a child in the way he should go. The Bible says this, if you'll quote it with me, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I may have gotten just a little wrong there. I usually write it down. This is a joy not only to everybody who's standing, but to everybody in this church. As you get to see these little ones come in and out and grow and go, for us to be an encouragement to this family, you may be seated now as all of us will take part of this. So little Avery, Olivia Cannon, and Drake, Owen Cannon, and Knox, Oakley Cannon, what a joy it is just for this family to dedicate themselves and these children to the Lord. We can come on over here by Amy and I. Sorry, I'm laying. And we're going to pray, and as I pray, I trust you'll pray together with us, because this family is entrusting this church with helping them along the way. We understand that God puts a responsibility on the family, but then God gives a family, an external, outside family, to help out. And may we all pray together. Lord, we pray for this dear family. They have been a blessing to this church. Lord, they've been a blessing to Amy and I. They've been a blessing to this area, dear Lord. But we are praying specifically for their 3 young children. Lord, we are dedicating them to you. We are trusting you, dear Lord, as they grow and mom and dad try to instruct them in the right and the proper way. As mom and dad try to pray over them and seek your face and be led of you so that they can lead their children. Lord, we trust that you will be faithful to lead them, guide them, provide for them. And dear Lord, as they dedicate them back to you, we look forward to the day when they bow their head and they trust Christ as their Savior. And then not only that, but as they grow in their faith, Lord, I pray your richest blessings upon this family. Please bless them in a special way. And may we as a church and me as a pastor be an encouragement, be an uplifting force, and be, dear Lord, there for them when they need us. Well, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for this wonderful, godly family. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you all. God bless you. Well, today it's a great joy to get to see so many things happen. Proud grandparents and blessed parents and wonderful, wonderful children. It's a joy to get to watch these boys. Now, Avery, she's not running around too much yet, but it's a wonderful, wonderful thing as a pastor to watch these little guys navigate through all this church. They know a place in this church you all didn't even know existed. It's a thing. You say, how do you know that? I'm a preacher's kid. I investigated everywhere. We knew places deacons didn't know existed. So God bless you, family. Thank you so much for that. What a joy to be in church this morning. And I trust that we'll continue to pray one for another. Invite you back tonight at that 6:30 service. Brother Dan will bring a message from the Word of God. I'm looking forward to hearing that. Brother Daniel will give us a report about the camp week and then show some video footage of what the kids experienced. And we all get to enjoy that. And we all get to have a part of that. It was our vehicles that took them up there. It was our prayers that the Lord protect them. We were able to have a part in all that. So I invite you back at 6:30 to see everything that goes on. And thank you for being in church this morning as you leave. And you want to come and express your appreciation to the canons and just say, I not only pray then, but I'm praying for your family. We want this to be what we can do to be an encouragement to a family that loves the Lord. God bless you. We can stand together. If you're a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for being here. It's a joy and an honor to get to have you as our guest at Buffalo Ridge. You are dismissed.